Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Broadcasting live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on the world famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, alongside my good friend and co-host, Anthony Padilla.
Thanks, Scotty. Good to be back. This week, we'll be talking about why Big Baby might now be more fitting when it comes to Big Ben, why feeding a lion a pack of cheese will get you paid, and I'm confused. If Tim Tebow really is as terrible as one teammate thinks he is, why is he still so much better than the rest of us?
Let's attack the line. The Jacksonville Jaguars are on the road taking on the very impressive Houston Texans. The total for this game Sunday night opened 42.5, bet down under to 41.5 today, coming in at 40.5.
Man, I don't know how many times you've picked Houston this year, but I've now decided it's just so you can sing that little song, that old Houston song. It's unreal. But you know what? They're 8-1, and Jacksonville is 1-8. You could not have a more lopsided matchup. Other than the one we've got on this set every Friday, you could not have a more lopsided matchup than Jacksonville and Houston. There's nothing to say about this game. There's really not. There's, 40.5?
Yes.
40.5. It's going to be under because Jacksonville's not going to put the points on the board. Houston, although they have the offensive weapons, they tend to be a running team. Strangely enough, they don't really have a running game. And this is the only thing that Jacksonville has going for them is Jacksonville is giving up an average of 4.2 yards a carry. Houston, ironically, is only averaging 4 yards a carry. That's pretty much all Jacksonville has on the positive side of things. But I would say go with the under on this one.
Very interesting what you say, Anthony. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are an ugly team. They've won just one contest. But people tune into the Vegas Video Network, the Odds Couple, so you and I can share information that maybe people did not realize. The fact is, the Jaguars, as ugly and as bad as they are, if you blindly have bet them on the road ATS against the spread, you would have won every single time. Every week you'll hear me talk about underdogs are undervalued. Jacksonville Jaguars 4-0 ATS against the spread on the road. We're attacking the total. It's already been attacked. It's gone from 42.5 to 40.5. I respectfully will pass on this game. The Houston Texans, they're a very good football team. They have just one loss. They're a good ATS team. They've won 7 of 9. I believe they're a bit overhyped, a bit overrated. I understand where they are today, but check back in January when they're hosting the New England Patriots in the AFC Conference Championship game. In fact, don't even wait that long. December 10th, the Patriots are hosting the Texans. Then talk to me about how good the Texans are. Let's move on. I do have an opinion on the next game. The San Diego Chargers are on the road taking on the Denver Broncos. The total for this game opened 51. It's been bet under to 49.5 and now all the way down to 48.
Wow. This definitely is, man, Manning is on fire right now. He's looking like the MVP guy in Indy. He's got 21 touchdown passes to 6 interceptions over the last 4 games where they've averaged 34 points a game. It's insane the points they're putting on the board. They're at home taking on the Chargers. There's incentive there because they're trying. This is that game where it's going to kind of lock up the division for them. So that's what they're playing for. Papa John's might as well just rename it Big Daddy Manning's because that guy is all over the place, and he's doing big things, and he's living up to the expectations that, you know, everybody sets for him. Now, on the flip side, Philip Rivers, he's still kind of – I don't know if this guy's ever going to grow up, Scott. I really don't. You know, he just when you think he's got the maturity on the field, he's got some kind of temper tantrum or something going on the sidelines, and he just regardless of that situation, the Chargers have a decent football team, but they're not going to win this game. The one thing they do have going for them is a little bit of desperation, you know, where the Broncos are trying to lock up the division. the Chargers are trying to save their season, and they still have a shot, but they've got to start winning now. As far as the points go, again, you know, Manning and those 34 points a game over the last four games, they've got that high-powered offense, and San Diego's also capable of putting points on the board. They're going to lose the game, but I would definitely say over the 51.
I feel sorry. I feel bad for San Diego Charger fans having to put up with an underachieving team the past 3 years. This is a franchise, the San Diego Chargers. Years ago, they fired Marty Schottenheimer after he won 14 out of 16 regular season games. They brought in Norv Turner. He underachieved everywhere he's been. He's a very good offensive coordinator. As a head coach, not sold, never have been. And the fact is, the Chargers, a few weeks ago, you'll remember this, on a Monday night, up 24-0. No lead is safe when Norv Turner is your coach. 24-0, they lost the game. They were outscored in the second half. The Denver Broncos stuck it to the Chargers. Rematch, revenge, we'll see. The Chargers are on the road taking on the Denver Broncos, and this segment is attack the line. It's already been attacked. The whole world is on the under. It went from 51 to 48. Am I going to attack this line? Good things happen to those who wait. I'm going to wait, see how low it goes. As a professional sports bettor, remember, we talk about on a weekly basis, you want to be on the move early, under 51, or against it late, meaning over late. If it, I'll play it at over 48, but it's 48 everywhere. Why play over 48 if it goes to 47.5 or 47? The reason I'll play the over in this contest eventually is because these are two over teams. My good buddy Anthony just touched on the fact the Broncos have averaged 34 points a game the past 4 weeks. The Chargers, to be in this game, are going to have to score points. They're more than capable. They have talent. They've just underachieved up to this point. Now let's talk specifics. 6 of the 9 games for the Chargers over the posted total. Not only are the Denver Broncos 6-3 ATS against the spread, but the Broncos have had 6 of their 9 games go over the posted total as well. I'm no math whiz, but that equates to 12-6 over. So I'm going to attack and play the over in this contest.
This is crazy, man. I don't know where. Why would people think that this is going to be a low-scoring game? Anytime these two teams hook up, they put a lot of points on the board.
Well, and a few weeks ago on the Monday night game was a perfect example. I mean, the contest flew over. A lot of it had to do with turnovers. But I think it has to do with the fact that 51 for a National Football League game is high by NFL standards, and that's why I think money has come in on the under. But again, I like the over.
Sure, but again, when you have a team that's averaging 34 a game, they've almost got that by themselves, you know. And I don't see anything in San Diego that would stop that this week.
Well, the thing that would stop San Diego would be San Diego.
Absolutely.
I mean, I look back and I think about that game when they were up 24-0 just a few weeks ago. They overreacted. The next week, they went so conservative. They were on the road taking on the Browns. They only had 2 field goals. They lost to the Browns 7-6. But in this contest, the reason I like the over is because it's going to be a high-scoring game, I think. And so they're going to have to score points. And the Chargers are more than capable of scoring points, but only if their backs are against the wall and they have to. And to compete with Peyton Manning, the Broncos, I'm telling you, their schedule is very, very favorable the rest of the way. Peyton Manning playing well. Keep an eye on this team.
Well, I think you made a good point, not just with this game, but going back to, you know, when Schottenheimer got fired. I remember when that happened. That might have been one of the dumbest moves in sports. Like, what's left besides winning the Super Bowl? Why would you get rid? There's nothing that says get rid of this coach, you know? And they've clearly paid the price. Because where's Norv Turner gotten them?
Well, I talk to people, friends of mine in San Diego on a weekly basis, and they're just up in arms, and they have been for the past few years because this team flat out underachieves. And Norv, nothing against the guy personally, I just think as a head coach, he's not the answer. Offensive coordinator, he's great. But as far as a head coach, I'm just not sold.
You know, he's another one of those guys. He's a coordinator, not a head coach, and it just happens, you know. Speaking of that, we've got a couple of teams this week in Spin to Win. We have the Ravens heading to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers, where the Ravens are 3.5-point favorites in Spin to Win. Scott and I are both forced to take a team once the lovely Tara spins the wheel. We're going to argue for both sides and show you the value and the devalue. Is that a word, Scott?
Devalue? I don't know. I have no idea.
The value and the non-value of both sides. Because the smart bettor always bets with their head, not with their heart. Tara, if you would, please.
Scotty's got the Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are at home. I see value with the Steelers. Again, I love the dogs. Underdogs are oftentimes undervalued. And the Steelers, this is interesting. How much value do you put on a starting quarterback? Ben Roethlisberger is the real deal. But the fact is the Steelers were favored in this game by a field goal before the Monday night game took place where Roethlisberger went down. Now he's out. But for it to move from 3 to 3.5 the other way, a 6.5-point move, it's not. Byron Leftwich is an adequate quarterback. He was a starter in this league for years for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I felt like he got a raw deal, the compliments of Jack Del Rio. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game against the Baltimore Ravens will be extremely competitive. I see this game as a coin toss. I mean, the Steelers are built on defense, and I like Pittsburgh. I don't need the 3.5, but hey, sports books, if you're offering it, I'll take it, and 3 hours later, I'll see the cashier.
Man, if I were a betting man, I would say it is a given. Every week, you're going to get stuck with the team that just does not have a chance of covering this. And again, I commend you, but man, Pittsburgh fans, you are in trouble. Big Ben is out. He's got a baby coming, so even if his mind is all over the place, it doesn't matter now because he's on the bench. Byron Leftwich hasn't started since 2009. You might as well put him back in a Jacksonville uniform and get him going for that team again because he's not going to do anything this week for Pittsburgh. Here's a couple of interesting things. Pittsburgh has won their last 4 home games, and they've won 11 of their last 12, so they don't lose at home. However, that one loss, who do you think?
Baltimore Ravens, first game.
That's right. That's right. And so if they're going to lose at home, it's going to be the Ravens. And another interesting thing, they're actually 6-5 on Sunday night football games, which this game is on Sunday night. And as you said, maybe not good with math, but that doesn't bode well for Pittsburgh. Baltimore, again, this is another team that even though Ray Lewis is out, you know, you ask how much value is there with a quarterback, much more with a quarterback than with your defensive captain. Because the Ravens have fared much better without Ray Lewis than a lot of teams do without their quarterback. A point, the Arizona Cardinals started 4-0, and once Big Daddy Cobb went down, that's it, man. That whole team has just fallen apart. They look like the Cardinals of Tempe Sun Devil Stadium back when they were playing, you know, in the college stadium. But it's I don't know. I don't know why that is, and I guess part of it is because when you have a good quarterback, they keep the offense on the field. The defense gets, you know, a little bit of rest. But what's Leftwich going to do this week? You know, it's really hard to say. He doesn't have enough experience over the last couple of years. He used to be a starter, and now he's being thrown back into the starting position right in the part of the season where they need him the most. And I just don't know if he can still handle that pressure. Now, it's only 3.5, but I still think the Ravens are going to win by at least a touchdown.
You asked about Leftwich, and not only you asked the question, can he handle it? I say yes, simply because you could quarterback the Steelers. All you have to do is hand off to your stud running backs. And have you seen the Ravens' defense? They can't stop anyone.
Well, I agree to a point. But the thing is, it's not going to... Leftwich has a thing. He's going to want to pass the ball. You know, him and Big Ben have different strengths that they bring to that offense. You know, and I just... Even watching him play the second half last week, trying to get in and comfortable, you know, there's just something about the way that he handles the offense that I don't know that the offense is going to click with him.
Well, Leftwich is a gunslinger. He likes throwing the deep ball, which I respect. I think teams are so ultra-conservative, they're always checking down and throwing. I get sickening, fighting mad when I see quarterbacks facing Jason Campbell of the Bears. Perfect example. It's 3rd and 10. Why are you throwing a 2-yard pass into double coverage? It looks good in his stats, but you're not helping the team. Leftwich, he has courage. He'll throw the ball downfield. I like that. The knock on him is you can get to him because he has a very long windup. But I think the Steelers at home plus the 3.5. Wow, that's a bargain.
A bargain. I can't believe I've never seen you this worked up, buddy. All right. We're going to take a break so Scott can have a drink and calm down. You're watching The Odds Couple. Come back and join us right here on the Vegas Video Network.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard alongside my good friend and co-host Anthony Padilla. We would love for you to reach out to us. A number of ways that you can do so. We would love for you to be a part of this show. Reach out to us by email at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. We would also love to hear your voice on our show. You can do that through web-based voicemail. Go to our site on the right-hand side, a red bar, click there, and right there, the green bar, click start recording. Also, we have live chat. We would love to field your live chat questions, preferably about sports betting. The other thing is, if you miss us live, it's okay. Check us out on Vegas Video Network, iTunes, YouTube, Roku, and every Saturday, this show is rebroadcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. Now, before we get to Are You Kidding Me?, I want to talk about, I took a road trip. I needed to get away from Vegas. I went to Los Angeles this week. I would like to talk to you, Anthony, about this a little bit. I went and saw the Lakers play the Spurs. That was on Tuesday night. Sat five rows behind the Spurs bench. And then the next night, I knocked out two games, 24 hours, the Clippers taking on LeBron James and the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I remember when you texted me from that the next day, and I don't know why you would do that to a guy that's stuck in the cloudy Vegas weather, you know. But and of all the weeks to be there, when the whole Phil Jackson, Mike D'Antoni drama is going down, it's crazy how big of a buzz Laker news is anytime, anywhere. But what was that like in L.A.?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, the fans are fanatical about their Lakers, and of course, being in a high-profile town, drama is their middle name, the Lakers. But fact of the matter is, I had a great time. I sat five rows behind the Spurs bench, and I was talking to this lady who seemed a bit disinterested. Very nice, very polite. I just asked her finally in the third quarter, are you from San Antonio? She said yes. I said, are you married to one of the players? She said yes. Didn't want to offer too much information. I asked her to whom, and she said Manu Ginobili. So her name is Manny. They've been married for 8 years. She's a sweetheart, very nice lady. Good news, I had the Spurs plus the one. They won on a last-second three-point shot. Well, 9 seconds to go. Danny Green knocked it down, a 53% three-point shooter. Spurs, very talented team. Of course, the Lakers without Steve Nash, without Steve Blake. Actually, they're without Nash, they're without Blake. And D'Antoni, is he going to come in and save the day as the new coach?
I think it's pretty exciting, man. Like, I'm a Suns fan. And when he was with the Suns and he had that young team and he instilled that offense that nobody had seen before, you know, it was really, really fun. That made me a basketball fan. That was so much fun to watch. The worst part about it was that he had the young guys. Everybody says, you know, they don't play defense. Well, or they don't play defense with that system. But the guys were young. It's not that they're going back and literally just standing there not playing defense. You know, they just didn't have the guys who had enough knowledge in the league to know how to get back and do this. Now he's got the guys that are capable of getting up and down the court, and you can't have a bigger dude than the guy they now have in the middle with Dwight Howard. This is going to be, I hate the Lakers so much, but it's going to be fun to watch.
I really think the Lakers are going to be there in the end. I think the fact that Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, Steve Nash are on board with D'Antoni, I have a lot of respect for D'Antoni. People in New York, the Knicks, not real happy with what he did in New York, but you know what? I really think, based on the talent this Laker team has, the only concern I have for Los Angeles, their bench. In the NBA, oftentimes, it's not who you start, it's who do you have coming off the bench. Now, before we get to Are You Kidding Me?, I want to do a segment on tips and terminology. And by this, last week we talked about value in halftime betting. Quick 10-second recap, it has more to do with, instead of betting during the week, 7 days, the sports books have 7 days, seven nights to get the side and the total, the money line correct. But halftime betting presents value because you get to watch the first half, and the sports books have about 12 minutes to get eight games, the side, the total, the money line correct. But this week, we're going to talk about value in first half betting. Now, a lot of my friends bet first halves. I shy away from it simply because I don't like random acts. I like the fact that halftime, I know who's going to get the ball to start the third quarter. But oftentimes, I do not know who's going to get the ball to start the game. And I hate being behind the eight ball before my team even gets the ball. Let's say it's 7-0. I'll give you an example. I'm wound up. Last week, I had the Eagles first half plus a half point minus 11 cents. It closed plus a half minus 20. So I'm getting 9 cents the best of it. Eagles. I made this play in the Islands 5 minutes before kickoff, and I knew the Eagles were getting the opening kickoff. That means I have one extra possession, and I'm getting a half point in a perceived close, tight football game, and I'm getting 9 cents the best of it. Eagles receive the opening kickoff. They proceeded to go right down the field and score with Michael Vick at the helm. 7-0. So there you have it. Perfect example. I'm up 7.5-0 against the Cowboys. I lost. Okay, the Cowboys came back. But that isn't the point. The point is you do everything right. Okay, you do your homework and you bet first half betting. If you're betting a side, you want to know who's getting that opening kickoff. And again, they'll announce that about 5 minutes before kickoff. So if you have someone in the field betting for you, or if you're betting in the Islands or whatever, the idea is you have an extra possession. Now, in regards to a total, it really doesn't come into play. But in betting totals, remember now, key numbers in betting first halves or second halves. 24, a lot of people think that's a key number. It depends. 23 is much more common, and 20 is a huge number. Another case in point, Monday night, I just now thought of this, I bet at Coast Casinos, the only 19.5 in town, the total on the KC-Pittsburgh game, it got there, okay? So again, if you're getting a half point and a half, the best of it, especially on and off key numbers, you're going to do very well for yourself long term. Now we're going to move right along and talk about specifically what frustrates you in the world of sports, namely sports betting. Are you kidding me?
Terrible is a word that's being thrown around this week in the NFL, specifically at Tim Tebow by one of his teammates. Man, Scotty, I don't know what's going on with these guys calling out a teammate. What do you play for the Jets, man. Terrible is not Tebow, it's the Jets. You guys suck. Mark Sanchez is your starting quarterback. I hope you guys realize this, because what do you have last week? 75 passing yards, quarterback rating of 3? I mean, close enough. You know, this guy, Tebow is a distraction to the fact that your starting quarterback has done nothing this year in light of any, pick a quarterback. You talk about, I could suit up and hand the ball off for the, you know, for Pittsburgh. Well, you could suit up and do anything you want with this Jets team. Is it Rex Ryan? It's funny when Rex Ryan has nothing to say. Rex Ryan has been the most boisterous coach over the past 5 years, and even he is at a loss of words. In fact, this week, when one of those teammates cowardly, and those were Rex Ryan's words, and I agree, called Tim Tebow terrible, Rex Ryan ripped the team the next day in the team meeting, and he actually posed the question and said, who in this room thinks Tim Tebow is terrible? First of all, how much would that suck in a room full of 70 guys and coaches and players and practice squad for you to be the guy where the head coach is going, you know what I mean? That's almost like a parent going, hey, who doesn't like my kid? You know, that's embarrassing. These are grown men, but it's because somebody said it. And of course, nobody raised their hand, but he let it go. And he said, you're right, because he's not terrible. Here's my problem with that, Scott. Go at him further. Do not let this team leave until you find out who said it. And I don't care what it does to this guy. I don't care if that guy now gets his ass beat by everybody on that. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different kind of hazing. But if you're going to call out a teammate in the media who doesn't even, the guy doesn't even play. You know, it was one thing when he was in Denver and people were worried about what he was doing, you know, on the field. Now he's in there for 2 plays a game and he's the one that's still drawing the most attention. Focus on the team. Soaring jet, no, it's more like a sinking ship. And at this point, you need Denzel or somebody to help you out, because the Jets are terrible. Are you kidding me? Just stop.
I've been sitting here patiently listening to this rant, and I have to say, I find it a bit hypocritical. You're dogging these players and coaches for calling out their teammates, but you call me out on a weekly basis.
Well, that's right. That's because you're terrible, and that's not the point.
But terrible is spelled J-E-T-S.
It's S-C-O-T-T.
Great.
No, Scott is not terrible. I want to make that clear. Whitney or Pritchard. All right, but my problem is that they are calling out a teammate in the media. If you do it behind closed doors, that's one thing. But actually, it shouldn't even be happening, because he's not playing. What are you calling him out for at all?
He's a media darling.
He's not costing them games.
Right,
but even with that, he's the media darling, but it's ironic. And I'm not a Tebow lover. I mean, I am a Tebow fan. How can you not be a fan of this guy? But he's not doing anything. He's not. And man, what a man to stand and face the reporters in his face asking him, how do you feel that one of your teammates called you terrible, and just with that classic Tebow smile just says, you know what, I've got a lot of growing to do, and I do need to get better, of course, and I'm working hard every day. What a class act.
Maybe, I know you're upset. I don't want to make you more upset. Maybe we should talk about the Giants, the other team in New York. The Giants, do you think they're going to win their division knowing they're going up against your Cowboys?
No, man. First of all, don't ever ask me if I think the Giants are going to win anything when it comes to my Cowboys being in the same division, because I'm a diehard. And now if the Cowboys were bad, I would admit they're bad, but they're not. And this is that point in the season where I feel they're going to go separate ways. The Cowboys are headed in the right direction, and they have the schedule set up perfectly. Do they take advantage of it? I certainly hope so. The Giants, over the past few seasons, have been that team where they've struggled early. You know, they've really put themselves in the hole, and then they've dug their way out, and they've ridden that all the way to the playoffs and the Super Bowl and the next season. You know, this year has been the opposite. They started bad, then they got really good, and then it was like, wow, they hit this stride early. And now they've been really bad again. And they're not going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I think the Giants are just bad.
I really think the Dallas Cowboys, I've been saying this for the past few weeks, their record not too impressive, but I think they're better than their record. I think the fact that you touched on their schedule, hypothetically, don't call me crazy, but the Cowboys may only lose one more game. That would put them at 10-6. And the interesting thing is about Dallas, as they go with the Giants, right now the Giants are 6-4, the Cowboys are 4-5. But what's interesting is Cowboys only have one division loss. The Giants have two. So if somehow, some way they tie at 10-6, the Cowboys would have the inside track. Even if they don't win their division in a tiebreaker against the Giants, they might slide in as a wild card team. So keep an eye on the Cowboys. I think their next three games, very favorable. 4 weeks from now, they're on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think they're going to be competitive right down to the end. They're better than their record. Now we're going to, Anthony and I together, are going to put money into your pocket as we put you on the right side.
All right, the right side for me this week, I am taking the New Orleans Saints visiting the Oakland Raiders. Saints are favored by 4.5 in this game. Before I touch on this game, I want to go back and visit last week, as painful as it might be to admit this. I did have the Chiefs at the Steelers. The Steelers were 12.5-point favorites. I took the Steelers in the 12.5. I was riding a two-game winning streak, feeling really good, came off a double-digit win the week before. I just want to ride that train, you know? Bad idea. It was just a horrible decision. You know, I second-guessed myself before I did it, but not to the point that I wanted to change my mind, and I felt like the Steelers could do it. Sure enough, you talk about doing your homework. Who saw the Steelers basically laying an egg and Roethlisberger getting hurt? You know, and the Chiefs just showed up. The Chiefs actually showed what they've kind of done all year. They stick around, and they either get blown out or they stick around but still lose. You know, they don't do enough to win the game, but I learned my lesson. If it's in double digits with the Chiefs, just it's going to be close. But that being said, I did pick the Bengals over the Giants last week. Nobody saw that coming. I did, so a little pat on my back because I'm not going to get it from anybody else here. I'm all right with that because going into this week, again, I have the Saints at the Raiders. This is another one of those games where the Raiders are a mess. They've been up and down, and just when you think, like, all right, maybe this Raiders team is going to put something together. You know, they go right back into the gutter, and then, you know, last week again, Tampa Bay go down by 24, and then all of a sudden they start making this comeback, and it's like, wow, they really might win this. No, they're not. They still lose the game, you know, so they keep finding ways to lose. On the flip side, you've got the Saints who are coming off taking down the Falcons, which, again, right here on this set, we've discussed the Falcons are not one of the better undefeated teams, which they're not undefeated anymore. And it was just a matter of time before they lost because, for all intents and purposes, they've been losing every game and somehow found a way to win. Last week, they couldn't piece it together. Drew Brees is now taking the Saints team on a 4-1 winning streak after starting 0-4. He's being Drew Brees. You know, that saying gets played out with a lot of guys, but again, he is who he is for a reason, and he's got this team rolling. And going to Oakland, coming off that win against Atlanta, now I think they're ready to put their foot on somebody's throat and just drive it deeper into the ground. And I don't think they're going to let off like Tampa Bay did. So, that being said, this week for me, the right side is the Saints minus the 4.5.
Before we get to my right side, I would like to recap what took place last week. My right side a week ago, under in the Bears game, 41.5. We talked about it earlier, the fact that it went from 41.5 a few days later before kickoff, it went to 37. Fortunately, I've won three of my last four, So hopefully you've been on the right side, riding the wave, riding the streak. But no one cares what you did last week. That's what I've been hearing all week. So let's get to this weekend's action. 2 days ago, I took a look seriously on the Detroit Lions hosting the Green Bay Packers. And I look at the Green Bay Packers led by their star quarterback Aaron Rodgers. They're coming off a bye. Both of these teams, the Packers and the Lions, are 4-5 ATS against the spread. At the sports books, they get so much respect, meaning the Green Bay Packers. They don't have my respect, but the sports books, I think it's because the betting public, don't care where you are. I was in Idaho at a speaking engagement just 3 weeks ago, and I went to a sports bar to catch all the games. I couldn't believe how many Packer fans were there in Boise, Idaho. Are you kidding me? All right, we're done with that segment. Back to the right side. The Packers are at Detroit. The Packers' stud linebacker is out. The Detroit Lions, statistically, I'm telling you, this team offensively, defensively, they match up with everyone. This team has talent. I'm loud and I'm proud. This team has talent. Detroit, like the Cowboys, are better than their record. I'm at home, meaning the Lions, getting 3.5. I see value. The right side for me, Detroit Lions plus the 3.5.
It's going to be another good game. You're right. Detroit does have talent, and I was a little disappointed in their play last week. They've kind of gone up and down, but they're actually kind of a fun team to watch. Yeah, I can't believe I'm going to say that, but you know,
Mike Stafford, a star quarterback. Defensively, they match up extremely well. The Packers on the road, indoors on turf, never a good bet, and I'm getting the 3.5. I see today, as I came in here today, that money is now starting to come in on Detroit. It's gone from 3.5, which it's been all week. I played the game 2 days ago, and I see more threes now than I do 3.5.
I'll tell you what, Thanksgiving is going to be different for a lot of families this year, you know, because they're actually going to have an extra game to watch at 10 o'clock.
Well, you have the Lions, of course, hosting the Houston Texans. Just looking for any little...
set it up perfectly for you to see.
But what's the late game that you're talking about? There's a late game on Thanksgiving night?
There is one Thursday night, but I was saying, forget the third game. I was saying now people have an extra game to watch in the morning.
Because
normally people are flipping channels when the Lions game is on because it's just going to be a blowout. But this year might actually be worth watching.
Great. Cool. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah. That's right. That's next Thursday. And we're not going to be here for a couple of weeks. So what's going on with you in that time?
Well, if you're in Las Vegas, I do stand-up comedy on the Strip each and every Saturday night right here. Planet Hollywood, check it out. Show goes at 9:30, is it?
Right there.
Cool. All right. I'll trust your judgment. You can check me out at VegasInsider.com for my daily plays. Also, PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com. But enough about me. I want to hear more about Anthony's show, LVH, every week.
First of all, never trust my judgment. That's your first mistake. Second of all, before I tell you what I'm doing, I want to give you a lot of props to everybody because Scotty here came out last week. And for our three-month anniversary weekend over at LVH, did a set with us finally. Kudos to you for that. Did a great job. And just to share a little bit of insight into the comedy world and business, what happens during a show is you're given a set amount of time to do if you're the acts in between or a guest set. The guy before Scott was given an 8-minute set and decided to do 16. And we couldn't get him off stage. He wasn't getting off stage. He was ignoring everything to get off stage. He had the audience, he was doing great, and then he lost the audience and was not doing great. In fact, it was terrible. It was very Tebow-esque. But Scotty had to follow that. And that's a really tough situation to be in. And I'm only saying this because I really commend you for the way you went up as a professional and did your thing and got them back and made them forget, you know, the debacle that just happened, because I had to go up after Scott. So Scott was a great buffer, you know, not buffet. That had nothing. He was a great buffer in between that mess and myself, and I was really appreciative for that because you really handled it well, and you don't know. Sometimes a show can fall apart after something like that, but you did great. So can't wait to have him back again. And as he said, we're at the LVH every Thursday through Sunday, 10 p.m. Please come out, bring some friends, tell friends, like us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Follow me wherever you can. Find me around town. I'll buy you a taco. And... that's it, man. Just having a lot of fun. But again, we're gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to give the sports books a break. I'm in the Midwest on a speaking engagement, but we're going to give the sports books a break. Anthony, 2-1. I'm 3-1 in my last four
Nobody
plays.
Wants to listen to you here. You got to go to the Midwest.
I'm guessing that's true, too, probably. But that's going to wrap up this edition of The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. For my good friend and co-host Anthony Padilla, my name is Scott Pritchard. We'll see you in 2 weeks.